The scripture reading this morning is from James chapter 1, verses 9 and 10. Let the lowly brother boast his exaltation, and the rich in his humiliation, because like a flower of the grass, he will pass away.
It's good to be with you and have you with us this morning to worship. It's a grand time for us to be able to share this time together. If you've read your bulletin already, you've already read the way I'm going to introduce this lesson, because David said, could you give me something that would introduce the lesson for today? I said, okay, I'll give you my illustration that I'm going to begin with. There was once this fable about a frog. The frog was known for his boasting. He and his friends, two cranes, lived in this wonderful pond where everything was just as it ought to be. They had lots of flora and fauna. Everything was wonderful until along came a severe drought and the pond began to dry up. Oh no, what are we going to do? You know, they're debating what they're going to do. Well, the birds were pretty, it's going to be pretty easy for the birds. They'll just fly to another pond, and so they know exactly what they're going to do. The frog says, ah, I have an idea. I want you two birds to hold a stick between your beaks, and I will grab hold of that stick, and we will just go flying off to that wonderful pond, to greener pastures where everything will be much better. And so we'll solve that whole dilemma. We're going to go to this safer zone. Everything will be safe. The brainy frog thought he had the solution. Well, they're flying over that drought-stricken village. And as they fly over the drought-stricken village, the folks up down below are looking up and they're saying, who masterminded this whole thing? Who had this wonderful idea? They see him flying, the birds flying away with the frog. The frog opened his mouth to say, ah, and uh-oh, he falls, and down below. The hero becomes a zero because he's out of the picture. He no longer is able to be there and to rescue himself or to rescue others. But again, he's boasting. Boasting is one of those interesting things, and we'll learn a bit about boasting in our lesson for today. It's really quite interesting. After talking about trials in chapter 1, verses 2 through 8, the lesson that we had last week, last Sunday evening, he moves to the rich and the poor. That's a topic, by the way, he's going to come back to two more times in this book. The book of James is a little hard to outline because he'll talk about a subject, change topics, come back to a topic, and he'll do that repeatedly as we work our way through the book of James. But it's a wonderful book. There are those who face trials. That's what we talked about in the last lesson. Trials, how do I handle trials? And of those who are facing trials, especially poor folks, when you don't have much money, it's trial time. It's tough times. And so how am I going to solve those kind of dilemmas? I think it's rather natural for those who face trials to be poor. James's audience are Jewish Christians who have now been scattered abroad. After the stoning of Stephen, the Greek-speaking Christians, Jewish Christians have to go elsewhere, and so they will leave and go elsewhere. So he writes this letter to those folks, and many of those folks are poor folks. Those poor folks are distressed, and they're facing difficult times. And so he's writing to those folks in particular. Our text begins, as we have just read, but the brother of humble circumstances is to glory in his high position. Now, that word humble is a word that we sometimes think of someone who's meek, but he's here using it in terms of the poor folks. It's used in that way in Luke chapter 1, verse 52, where you get this whole language where the Messiah will be brought down to exalt those who are humble. Those who are poor are going to be exalted by the Messiah. And so you see that kind of language there. It's also used in chapter 4, verse 6. In chapter 4, verse 6, God is opposed to those who are proud, but he will go to those who are humble. He will rescue those who are humble. And so you see it being used in that sense, the poor folks. The poor brother is to glory or boast in his humble circumstances. Isn't that interesting? Boast about being poor? That doesn't sound like that's something most folks are going to do. You're not going to boast about me. You boast if you're rich, not if you're poor. But he's to glory in his high position. You are humble, you are poor, but in reality, despite the fact you're poor, you are really very rich. You are in a high position. Literally, the word is in the heavens. You've been lifted high, and so you really are important. It's the spiritual condition of richness that we really enjoy. Those spiritual blessings are really quite striking. In 2 Peter, Peter there, 2 Peter chapter 1, verse 4, he says, he grants to us precious and magnificent promises. Those of us who are Christians are rich, even if we are poor. In a very real way, we have riches. Riches that other folks just can't stand and can't appreciate. So if you want to boast about something and you're poor, boast about the fact of what God's done for you in Jesus. Boast about the fact that you've been brought high. You are the rich folks in the world may scorn you, but the Christian is the heir of God's glory and His honor and His wealth, and you can take pride in that. Take pride in the fact of what God has done for you in Jesus. In the next section, it's really quite interesting. He goes on to say, and the rich man is to glory in his humiliation because like the flowering grass, he will pass away. Now, the big debate is, the rich man in our text, is he a Christian rich man or a pagan rich man? And I really think it's probably very likely that he's not talking about a Christian. Notice he doesn't use the brother. It's not the rich brother is to glory in his humiliation. The rich man. And he doesn't use the word brother. The word rich is used in a rather derogatory sense in elsewhere in the book of James. In James chapter 2, verse 6, there are those who will dishonor the poor. And in chapter 5, verse 1, he will say, come now, you who are rich. You need to realize that you aren't so rich. And so I really think it's probably not Christians. It could be Christians. We do know that there are rich Christians. And there's nothing wrong with being rich and being a Christian. In fact, there are some rich folks who are Christians who really have come to rescue those of us who are not rich. There are rich folks like Joseph of Arimathea. Joseph of Arimathea was a rich guy, and he's going to offer his own burial tomb as a burial place for Jesus. Nicodemus was a rich man. He is a fellow who is rather rich. He's a member of the Sanhedrin, and he will come and he will buy all of these expensive perfumes to bury Jesus. Mary and Martha and Lazarus are rich folks. They've got servants who work for them. And so they're rich folks. Barnabas is a rich guy. He has extra property, and he's going to sell that property and lay it at the apostles' feet. So there's nothing wrong with being rich. There are women from Galilee who, interestingly enough, will come to Jesus' rescue, and they will support Jesus and his disciples. Jesus will say, I don't have a place to stay, but he's taken care of by these rich women from Galilee. So you can be rich. And so I don't think but that's probably not James's audience. I think his audience are rich folks. He's going to say, if you're rich, you need to boast in, glory in your humiliation. Now, if he's talking about Christians, it's something, I'm not quite sure how he's saying it, but if he's talking about non-Christians, it's almost tongue-in-cheek. I want you to boast about the fact that you've been brought low. You're going to be brought low. And in fact, notice he says, you are like the flowering grass which will pass away. It's not your money is like the flowering grass which will pass away. You are like the flowering grass which will pass away. You're going to die. You can boast all you want. You can take advantage of poor folks, but you need to realize you're going to die. And that's going to be important. He goes on to say, for the sun rises with scorching wind and withers the grass. Its flower falls off and the beauty of its appearance is destroyed. So too is the rich man in the midst of his pursuits will fade away. again, he says it's the sun is rising, and really we're talking about the climate in the Mediterranean there. They have a rainy season that runs from November to January, and then a later rainy season that's going to come in March and April, if you're lucky you get that rainy season. And interestingly enough, I've been to Israel at all times of the year. I've been there in the winter, the rainy season, and indeed everything is green and there are flowers blooming everywhere. It's beautiful. I've been there in June, and guess what? There are no flowers at all. There's not a stick of grass anywhere. Everything is brown. It's pretty dismal. And so he says, it's so with you. Its flower falls off, the beauty of its appearance is destroyed. So too is the rich man. Notice it's not his riches are going to fade, he's going to fade. Isn't that interesting? So you can boast all you want. Go ahead and boast about your stuff, but your stuff isn't going to be here, and you need to realize that. And so he's going to emphasize that and make a big deal of that for us in the text. He goes on to say, blessed is the man who perseveres under trial. And again, I think he's dealing in particular with the poor folks. They're the ones who are facing the trials, who have the hardships, who have a hard time buying groceries and paying the bills. What about those folks? This one, notice it begins with, blessed is the man who. Does it sound like a beatitude? Remember the Beatitudes of Jesus, blessed are the poor in spirit, etc. This is called one of the misplaced Beatitudes. We'll get some of the Beatitudes that aren't in the Sermon on the Mount, but the majority of them are there. Blessed is the man who perseveres under trial, endures under trial. We saw that earlier in our text, interestingly enough. This perseverance in trial, blessed, it's not just this isolated beatitude. Interestingly enough, that same phrase, blessed are those who persevere under trial, is in the Septuagint, the Greek translation of the Old Testament, of the book of Daniel, chapter 12, verse 12. And so in a very real way, our man James, the brother of Jesus, is reciting that text. He endures under trial. We talked about that, by the way, last Sunday evening in chapter 1, verses 2 through 8. It doesn't mean that you're going to win all the battles. It doesn't mean you'll never err. It doesn't mean that at all. It does mean that you've got to overcome. And the one who overcomes, who doesn't give up, is the one who's to be congratulated. Blessed is the one who perseveres under trial, for once he has been approved. And that's a different word for enduring. It is a word for met the test. It's used, the approved word is a word that is used for a metal, that you test the metal to make sure it's pure. I ran across one author who suggested that we should translate it something like, blessed is the one who is the tried and approved, tried and true Christian. He is true. He's hung in there. He will receive the crown of life which the Lord has promised to those who love Him. Have you been watching the Olympics lately? You know, I've liked watching all of those folks who go skiing off of the thing and do these flip-flops all over the place and land amazingly well, but you see them. But the real key is winning the gold medal. And the word here for crown is not a diadem, the kind of crown that a king wears. It is the victor's crown. And in a very real way, you could even translate for us today, he will receive the gold medal. The crown of life. Notice the crown is life itself. And that's what we enjoy for those of us who are believers. We are enjoying this victorious gold medal. And the gold medal we have is real life. Life here and now, and life on the other side as well. What a wonderful blessing for us, isn't it? the crown of life. He promises this, and it comes, notice it comes to those who love Him, who love the Lord, which the Lord has promised to those who love Him. Love is the motivation for endurance. What will make it possible for me to hang in there till the end, to go through tough times, poor or rich? How am I going to survive in this world around me? I'm going to survive because God loves me. He's on my side. He answers my prayers. Jenny and I have been talking about the fact that we're probably going to be moving away from here and having to sell a house and buy a house, and we keep saying to ourselves, well, the Lord's blessed us this far, and He'll take care of us on the other side too, you know. He's going to make sure that everything's going to be met for us. And it's one of those blessings that we sometimes take for granted. It is clear that God is on our side. And indeed, He has promised life to those of us who love Him. And that's the gold medal. It's ours. We will be victorious in the end. Well, this is a wonderful text. We're going to work our way through James in the lessons that I'll be giving over the next several weeks, but I hope you'll be reading ahead in the book of James and will appreciate all that James has to say. Interestingly enough, the book of James is very much a book about practical living. How do I live in this world around me? How do I live? And now he's telling us that we indeed should recognize that we can be victorious in Christ Jesus. Perhaps there are those in our audience who need to respond to the message of Jesus. Indeed, it's a message that has brought us life. He has come to this earth. He has died for us. He's made life possible for us. And so we enjoy it. If you've never experienced that, never confessed Him as Lord, been buried in baptism, now is a good time to do that. But for the rest of us, we need to think very seriously about the fact that God is on our side. Rich or poor, makes no difference. God's with us, and He will be with us. If you need to respond to the invitation, it is yours. Would you come as we stand and as we sing?